Damn right, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. But talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of trials and temptations. Oh, and that's when your faith is really put to the test.
Your heartache in Jesus' hand.
across the rivers, oh, and desert places I've known. Oh, but I'm nearing the home shore where the redeemed are rejoicing. Oh, and heaven's angels are singing. Too far to look back. I've come too far to look back again. Oh, there is nothing behind me. See all the treasures I used to love. They have all faded from view. But there's a new across the rivers, oh, and desert places I've known. Oh, but we're nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Oh, and heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Oh, but I'm nearing the home shore where the redeemed are rejoicing. Oh, and heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
Praise the Lord. Too far to look back, devil. Amen. Too far in now. The Bible says when you put your hand to the plow, man that starts looking back ain't fit for the kingdom. Keep plowing ahead. Keep going. Well, you don't know how bad it is. Well, I know who's in control. I know that much. It ain't the devil. Amen. The devil ain't in control of my life. The Lord Jesus is in control of what he might. He and the devil might be in control of this world system, but he ain't in control of us. Amen. We got something tonight that the world don't have. Praise the Lord. We're going back to Romans tonight, chapter 4. Good to see everybody tonight. David, thanks for putting the trash can up for me. It's awful nice of you. I might buy you a sucker. No, thank you for doing that. I have to try to remember to say that on Wednesday mornings. Sometimes I forget. I didn't miss today. So if y'all, anybody pulls up and see a trash can sitting out there on Wednesday evening, when you come to church, just sitting there by the road, it's empty. If you want something to do, it just goes right around the corner there. You're more than welcome to roll it down there if you want to. If it hadn't already been moved, just giving you an invitation. Give you something to do. Hang around, you get something to do here. Romans chapter 4, David's been doing it, but somebody gets it before them, I'm sure he don't mind one bit if you put it up. Romans chapter 4, verse 23 is where we're going to start reading that. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I'm going to go on into chapter 5 and read a few verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Thank you for your anointing, for your power, for your spirit, Lord. I thank you tonight for those that came out to hear your word, those that came together tonight to worship the name of Jesus, to hear the word of God preached, to hear it taught, Lord. I pray that you bless them, Lord, for coming. I pray you bless those that are watching, those that will watch. Lord, we just believe that you're going to do great things in these last days. We believe you're going to pour your spirit out just like the Bible says. And Lord, it's going to start with us, Lord, who know you, and the world that don't know you. We trust you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a harvest of souls come into the kingdom. And we're all going to experience your power one more time before the rapture of the church. Lord, I believe that. We're anticipating, Lord. We're expecting. We know the devil is not in control, but you are in control. Bless your word tonight, God. Anoint me and help me, Lord, to minister, Lord, in truth, in power, in love, in grace, in mercy, and with your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been ministering on the subject of justification by faith on Wednesday evenings. I felt that the Lord wanted me to go here to start on this subject and go and teach on justification. And then from there, we're going to go into sanctification, because the church world today, a lot of Christians need this. They need to know. Let me just say this. Every Christian needs to learn the Word of God, but every Christian also needs to learn about justification. In other words, how you've been saved, what has happened, what the process is, and then you need to understand about how to go on to be sanctified, to live your life pleasing unto God. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the mark. You're going to fall for stuff you shouldn't be listening to. And that's one of the major problems with too many Christians. They're listening to stuff. No wonder they're so confused. And they don't understand the Word of God, because they're listening to a little bit of this one and a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one. And I want to turn him on, because I want a word. Give me a word. Come on, preacher, give me a word. Well, here it is. The Word of God. In truth, the Bible says, and in power. But justification, we have to understand, after you get saved. You've heard me say this many times. My wife and I, we didn't know anything after we got saved. We didn't know. We didn't understand any of this. I hadn't read the Bible. I didn't go to church. But I knew, we knew that something had changed in our life. We knew that we had been saved, but we didn't understand what had happened. So, you know, a good friend of mine that I was racing with at the time, they invited us to go to church, to go to Bible study with them. They were some of the first ones. He gave me my very first Bible. I got it put away in my office and on a desk, and we'll keep it till I die. Might even put it in my casket with me, I don't know. But, and he gave me my first Bible, and we started developing this love for the Word, and they would invite us to go to Bible study. Remember that, Melissa, at that little lady's house? We would just go to Bible study with Jeff, my friend Jeff Decker, and his wife, and we'd talk about the Word of God, and we didn't know anything. Remember, we didn't know anything, but we just wanted to go, and we decided to start going and being a part of it. And then I started reading the Bible myself at home, And as the more I read, the more I wanted. The more I read, the more it just started sinking into my soul. And I began to read about Jesus. And I began to put things together here and there as much as I could about, salvation and Jesus. But I didn't know anything about Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I didn't know anything about this justification process. I didn't know what happened in me. I didn't understand the details. And because I didn't, I suffered for about a year and a half. We both did. Even as we were going to the Bible studies, it was good for us. It was just somewhere for us to start. But as we, as you begin to grow, God starts requiring a little more of you, and you start going to church here, there, whatever, trying to find out your place, trying to, get where you can hear the word of God. And we did that at different little churches from here from time to time. Went to my mother's church, Assembly of God, for a year or so. God touched us there many times. He would bless us. But as we would grow in the Lord, we realized that there was something missing. The truth of the gospel was missing. Sin was not being preached on. The cross wasn't being preached on. It was just more of a love everybody setting. And we loved everybody. It was one of the first churches where we found the liberty to walk into the door. Because I have to tell you this, they had some good praise and worship. It was some good anointed praise and worship, anointed musicians. And we felt a liberty in there. We began to lift our hands. Boy, I'm telling you, the glory of the Spirit of God began to just move on people, move on us. And man, I love that. But I cherish those experiences. I love to feel the presence of God even now. But then it was even more so. I don't know what it was. It was like the Lord was just pouring His Spirit on me a lot. And I would break out bawling and crying in the middle of a church service. I didn't care what anybody thought. If they thought I was crazy or, man, they didn't know what the Lord had done in me. They didn't know where I had come from. They didn't understand what was going on inside. And as great as those experiences were, the presence and the power of God filling our closet when we go home to pray, that within itself was not the answer to us learning how to live right. Just the Spirit, just the presence of God is not going to enable you to just live right. You got to know something. You got to learn something. More particularly, what we're teaching on, you've got to learn. I'll never forget this, and it just came to my mind. At that church, that same little church, my mother's church, the devil was fighting me in my mind about salvation. And, I mean, he was fighting me, trying to make me think, you ain't got it. I don't know what come up, or somebody said, have you been baptized, or this or that. I don't know what it was, or if it was any of that. But Satan was trying to fight me in my mind about, being saved. And we went to church one Sunday, and I'm going to tell you, I was torn over it. And I was like, God, I know that I'm right with you. What's going on, And I'll never forget, they gave at the end of the service, I think is the end of the service or something, I went right straight to the front of the church and said, God, I want to know. Everything is right. And I was just kneeled down there at the altar, man. I was just bawling and crying and praying. And the pastor, he comes and he walked over and he just come right around behind me and put his arms around me, just wrapped his arms around me, Karen. And he said, they call me Tack over there. He said, Tack, he said, is there something wrong, something? I said, I just want to know. I was just bawling like a baby. I said, I just want to know that my heart is right with God, that everything's good, that I'm saved. And he wrapped his arms around me. He said, son, with a heart like this, he said, don't you worry. He said, you are a child of God. And God used that to confirm to me. But I wasn't solidified in this. I didn't understand. And so the devil was taking advantage of it to try to hit me with condemnation. And I walked away from that altar today, boy, that day feeling good. I knew it. I knew everything had been made right. We'd already been saved. My mother confronted me. This was months or however long before. And man, me be set free from alcohol and all kind of stuff. The Lord been moving in our lives. And here's Satan fighting me in my mind. And I'll tell you, he'll do that to you too, watching. If you don't know what I'm trying to teach tonight, if you don't understand this, if you don't come to the place to where you get this into your heart and your mind, the enemy will condemn you. He will cause you to fail. He'll manipulate and maneuver you in a direction that God never intended for you to go in. So that's why, when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a mouthful. It's more than just hearing it. You got to know it. So the subject that Paul was teaching on here about justification by faith, he reverts back to Abraham. Remember, Abraham, our father Abraham, is the example of a man who's the father of faith, you might say. The man who that the scripture says was justified by faith in the sight of God because of his faith. Not just faith in God, he had that, but his faith in a coming Redeemer. His faith in believing that a Messiah one day would come, although he would never see him in his lifetime, but the scripture says he rejoiced to see Jesus' day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw it in the Spirit. He believed it. And he's held up as the great, as the father of faith. He's the example of justification by faith. And we went through all the story last week about how Abraham had been tested and tried. And he failed. He did things wrong at times. And him and Sarah concocted their own scheme to try to bring to pass a child into the world. And God said, I never intend for you to operate like that. That's your flesh. I told you that I'm going to give you and your wife your own child. I'm going to give you and your wife your own ministry. I'm going to give you and your wife thousands of souls. I'm going to give you. Now, you ain't going to get it from anybody else. I'm going to do it. God made them a promise. And the problem was waiting for the promise. Anybody got a promise from God? Are you having to wait? Good. Because while you're waiting, God's going to be working in you. Because God's got to work in you to get you ready to be able to handle the promise. Young preachers today want to jump up and run off and think they're going to be some great evangelist and go all over the world and do this and do that. And they can't even get out of the backyard. They can't even get out in their own town. Can't even get on the job, get out and witness to people. No, my friend, you're going to be put to the test. You're going to have to trust God, obey him, and put your faith into action. Waiting. The waiting part is what's not easy. I remember when the Lord told me, thousands of souls, you're going to be used. I'm ready to go. Come on, let's do it. Let's get it done. I thought we'd do it like this. I thought we'd do it like that. I tried this. I tried that. And I look back today and think, man. But you know what? At least I was trying. At least I was trying to reach people. At least I was trying to get people saved. Motive was right. It just wasn't, it wasn't God's way. See, your motive can be right, but if it's not God's way, if it's not God's will, it doesn't matter what door you try to walk through, you try to open up on your own. It won't work right. But if you find God's will, and you wait, and you obey, and you trust, what he's promised you will come to pass. If he has promised you, told you somebody in your family is going to be saved, you need to believe him. You need to trust him. You need to say, and that's then when Maybe he told you that, and that person he's told you that about is one of the worst people in the world to be around. And you can't hardly stand them, can't stand to be around them, don't really want to talk to them, and seem like they just get worse and worse. But the Lord said, you watch what I'm going to do. That's a test, to have to believe God and trust him. That doesn't mean that everybody in your family is going to be saved. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if he's told you something, if he spoke something to your heart, I'm going to do this. And you know what? You need to believe he's going to do it. It ain't about believe how much you believe it. Just believe it. Trust him. Abraham was held up as the example of faith. But the Bible says him and Sarah, they failed. They missed God. They messed up. And God had to deal with them, correct them. After Isaac was born, then finally God began to deal with them. After Ishmael persecuted enough, you know, and Hagar, the bondwoman, you know, Hagar and Ishmael are causing conflict with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah and Isaac can't quite go forward in God's will now because they got an Ishmael and a Hagar to deal with because of their flesh, because they messed up and made a mistake. Now they're kind of being drugged down. Until God says, okay, I'm going to tell you how we're going to deal with this. You're going to get rid of them. You're going to get rid of. You're going to cast out the bondwoman and her son. You're going to have to separate from them. That was your flesh. You made a mistake. You did wrong. Okay, well, I understand that. I've given you your promise now, and I intend to use you and your family to go forward to be the father of many nations. So for that to happen, the flesh has got to go. You want to be used of God greatly? The flesh has got to go. Want to see God's promises come to pass? The flesh has got to go. That means you have to deny your own self. You got to deny your own ways of trying to live for God. You got to put all your trust in Jesus Christ. You got to follow him, surrender your life fully to him, yield to him on a daily basis. Not my will, Lord, your will be done in my life. Then you will start finding out what life is all about, and it may require you to separate yourself from some people. Even some family. Job had to look at his own wife and say, you're foolish. You're acting like a fool, woman. I ain't cursing God because we're having a bad time. I'm not quitting because we've been hit with sickness. I'm not quitting because we've lost everything we have. Naked we came in and naked we'll leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will not turn back on Jesus. So if you want to come, come on. If you don't want to go, bye-bye. I'm not saying you leave your spouse, divorce, run off on somebody that ain't want to follow the Lord with you. But if they don't want to follow God's will and they're holding you up and stopping you from following God's will, you're going to have to disconnect spiritually. Do you get it? You have to disconnect spiritually and say, okay, you have it your way, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. I'm getting to the church God told me to get in. I'm getting in the ministry God wants me to be a part of. If you don't like it, stay home. If you want to go to the Deadbeat Baptist Church down the road, go ahead. Come on. If you want to go find you a dead sanctuary somewhere, there's plenty of them around. Go ahead. I'm going where the Spirit of God is moving. I'm going where Jesus is high and lifted up. I'm going where the power of God is changing people's lives. I'm going where the truth of the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. I'm going where sin is preached on. I'm going where altar calls are given. I'm going where the hands go up in the air. I'm going where the Holy Ghost is moving. Are you going to follow God's will? Are you going to let people pull you away? See, there's more at stake here than you know. Learning this message, learning these truths, this is what the devil is keeping some people away from.
Well, you can stay home and watch through the internet. You don't have to go there.
What has God called you to do? God ain't called you to sit home and talk to no walls. God's called you to be a part of a body where the gospel is preached, where people can grow, where people can be touched, people can be used, people, God can send people out, use them in ministry. In order to do that, sometimes you have to tell some other people, I love you, but this is going to stop. I'm following God's will. Because I love Jesus more than I love you. Come on, I love Jesus more than I love you. And I want God's will. Abraham had to, they had to get rid of the bondwoman and her son in order to be able to go on to be changed and used of God. He said in verse 22. Let me go back to verse 21. It said that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. What God promised, he can perform. Only he can do it though. The flesh can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. What God promised, he's able to perform. And he said in the next verse, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. Imputed means it was put into his account. It was added to his account by God. Imputed, given to him freely by God. What? Righteousness. A right standing with God. A right relationship. Are you more concerned about tonight your relationship with the Lord than anything else? I mean, when you get up in the morning, what's your mind? What's your heart? What do you think about? What is your mind on? Are you each and every day still as concerned about having a right relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Or is it a, oh gosh, here I gotta get up again? A right relationship with the Lord every day. Because listen, if you don't and I do not keep your focus on Jesus and keeping that relationship right, you'll start waning. You'll start moving. You'll start conforming to the world. You'll start taking on idiotic thoughts of people that don't want God's ways. You'll start listening to stuff come from people that don't care about what we're teaching on. Don't care about being changed. Don't want to be changed. And they don't care if you're changed. But see, if you're going, we're going to live for the Lord, we need to be ready for change. Because it's coming. It's one way or the other. God will use whatever he has to do to help change us. What's he using to help change you? To help get you to a greater place of surrender. To help get you to a place where you can hear his voice more. To where you can tune everything else out and say, oh Lord, I need to hear from you. It was imputed to him for righteousness, all because of his faith. He said, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. You see, it wasn't just for Abraham, it's for us also. We need to know about righteousness. We need to know about how to have a right relationship with God. We need to know how to walk in it. We need to learn about it. He said, for us also to whom it shall be imputed, look, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Here's the key. Imputed righteousness is given to those who believe in what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Only those who believe in what Jesus did, they accept it, they understand it to the best of their ability. They understand that their salvation, their relationship with God is not wrapped up in who they are, what they do, what church they go to, what formula they've been baptized in, what church they've been baptized in, but it's been given to them. Righteousness has been imputed unto them because they believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you don't just believe it one time. It's a daily lifestyle. It's a part of daily living. Man, this will change your life. You get a hold of this, boy. This will change your life. When you start getting this revealed to you and you learn it for yourself and you're studying, God's showing you, this will change your whole world. You talk about eyes opening up. You're talking about spiritual truths coming to you. They'll leap off the pages of the Bible and get into your spirit. He said, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now listen to the next verse. Who was delivered for our offenses. Delivered to what? To the cross. Delivered to crucifixion. The Lamb of God, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners, was foreordained from the foundation of the world to go to be crucified on the cross, to shed his blood, to be a sacrifice for us tonight, praise God, so that we can go free from our sins. We can walk out of our prison door. If we believe, church, he was delivered for us. How in the world can you get tired of hearing about the cross? How in the world can you get tired of hearing about Jesus? How in the world can this bore you when it's the very thing that changes our whole world? But yet so many Christians don't want it. I got other things I'd rather be doing. One of these days, you won't be thinking like that. I tell you this: if the devil ever gets you off into bondage and chains through the things that you think you'd like to be doing that the world has to offer, you'll become a miserable human being. It doesn't matter how much money you can make. What kind of job you have, what kind of career you have, all the money, all the success, all the fortune, all the fame will never fill the void in that heart until you let Jesus Christ have his way and surrender to him. And I'm going to tell you, when you do, it's the greatest feeling in the world because you are released from the bondage of the devil. You walk out of your prison door inside. The light comes in. He was delivered for our offenses. The offenses is our sins. He was delivered to the cross for us, for you and me, for all the nasty things we ever did. For all the evil things we ever did. All the horrible things we ever did. All the sin, all the wickedness, all the darkness, all the blackness, gone at last. Because he was delivered for us. And he was raised again, so he didn't just die. He's not dead, church, he's alive. And he was raised again for our, look, justification. There's that word. You hear, if you listen to Son of Life broadcasting, you'll hear Brother Swagger or Brother Larson, they'll use the term justification. They'll use that word, and one of them will say it means just as if I had never sinned. Because that's exactly what it means, because that's what justification is. You're now in right. It's the act which declares a person righteous or just. The act. And the act is not on your part. The act is on God's part. The act is Calvary. The act is what Jesus did. It declares us innocent of all charges. Jesus dropped the charges. Praise God. Case dismissed. Saved by grace. Jesus, he dropped all the charges, all the guilt, all the condemnation, all the weight, gone, 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 gone. He did it. He justifies those who believe. God justifies, makes right those who believe and accept Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Simple. Why is it so simple yet so far away from so many people? Because the natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned. It makes no sense to most people because they can't figure it out with their puny brain. Because they don't know what faith is. Faith is believing in something you don't see. We weren't there when Jesus died on the cross, but we were in his mind. We weren't there, but guess what? 2,000 years ago it happened, and 2,000 years later, I'm experiencing the power. You're experiencing the change. Come on. You're experiencing the sanctification process. You're experiencing the love of God. You're experiencing the peace of God. You're experiencing the power of God 2,000 years later because it's real and it works forever. Amen. To those who believe. To those who trust in it. This is the problem with the modern day church. This is the problem with our society. This is the problem with the world. The gospel is not being preached. It's not even hardly being preached for salvation, let alone sanctification. People don't have a clue about sanctification. They think it's going to church, doing something good, reading the Bible, praying, handing out water, giving out bread, baking a cake. They think that's what sanctification is all about. It has nothing to do with it. The sanctification process is the process where God sets us apart to work in us daily. And that process takes place the same way as the justification. We'll get into it later. I'm going to go on into chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, well, originally, that the chapter wasn't even there. This was just one continuous letter. So if you read it like that, it even makes better sense. Because the subject ain't changing. Therefore, being justified by faith. See that? Justified, made right, declared righteous by faith. Believing in something you can't see. Believing is something that you were not there to witness. Believing is something that God said that he gave in his word to make you righteous, to free you from your sins, therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God. I'm going to have her to put up just a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 14. I want to read a verse whenever you can get it up, but I want to go back to this for a minute. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what that peace is? That is the peace with God. That's peace. You know, the scripture says that before salvation, we were at enmity with God. You were not God's friend. You were an enemy of God. The world is not a friend of God. The lost are not a friend of God. The world is at enmity with God. There is a separation between man and God because of sin. But Jesus justified, he said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So when you get saved, guess what comes? Peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. There's the method. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through what Jesus did at Calvary. Look, we have peace with God. Now listen to Ephesians 2 here. There it is on the screen, 14. For he is our peace. You see, peace is in a person. His name is Jesus. If you're lost tonight, if you're away from God tonight, if there's sin in your heart and there's separation between you and God, I got some good news.